Good morning. Today's scripture reading is from Matthew 13, 24 to 30 and 36 to 43 NIV. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out his kingdom, everything that causes sin, and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear."
Please pray with me. Harvesting God, as we listen to your word, by your Holy Spirit, lead our hearts in the way everlasting. Amen. So, when I was a little girl, I loved being outside. I mean, like a little girl, before my mom had to pick me up from the police station twice. I loved being outside. My yard was, I was lucky enough to have a yard. It was just full of this lush green grass and lots of flowers. There were just lots of flowers. Throughout the summer, there were these like pretty little white flowers that kind of like made like a cone sort of shape. And then, and the bees loved those. And then there were these like little, super tiny little blue flowers that would just sort of pop up all over the place and kind of intermittently. But then my favorite flowers were these puffy yellow flowers. And they seemed to bloom like practically all year round. And they were most plentiful in the summertime. And these flowers, they had the most deliciously subtle scent, like sweet, lightly floral, just this little tinge of citrus in there. And I used to like to make flower arrangements for my mom. And I'd gather these flowers up in big bunches, and I'd hand them to her, just handfuls at a time. I carefully picked out the fluffiest ones with the longest stems so that she could put them in the jar that she used as a vase, and she'd put them in the center of the dining room, the kitchen table, and it would be like our centerpiece for dinner. And then I found out my grandpa picked these flowers too. And much to my surprise, he did not proudly arrange them and hand them to my grandma for display. Well, and if I'm being honest, he didn't really pick the flowers as much as he did dig the whole plant out of the ground. And there was also a lot of grumbling about how these flowers were ruining his lawn. And I was shocked. Shocked that he didn't love these flowers as much as I did. After spending the morning digging up the flowers, Grandpa would sit on the porch and he'd separate the petals and the leaves from the stems and the roots. And he mixed the petals with a bunch of other stuff, like some water and honey and some grainy stuff. And then he'd put them in these huge glass jugs. They had to have been at least 2, maybe 3 gallons. They were huge. And he'd put a stopper in them with these swirly tops that would like bubble. And he had at least a dozen of these jugs in his basement at any one time. And I was always so fascinated with those jugs. It looked like it was a scientist's laboratory. Now the leaves, quite possibly the least attractive part of the plant, he gave to Grandma. And Grandma would wash them and soak them, and they'd inevitably wind up on the dinner table. And I very much prefer the sweet, juicy iceberg lettuce, so I did not appreciate these bitter, almost spicy leaves as part of my salad. It was right about this time that I learned those beautiful yellow flowers with puffs of petals that I adored are considered weeds. Can you imagine? The bright and mighty dandelion, a noxious weed? I'm still unsure why my grandpa hated them so much, because he certainly enjoyed the wine that he made out of them. In Jesus' parable of the wheat and the weeds, the field workers see the weeds rising up from the soil, and they want to remove them immediately. They want to be proactive in getting rid of them. It's one thing to say that God is a little reckless when sowing seed, throwing them on rocky soil and all. But what kind of farmer doesn't want the weeds pulled? We know that weeds pull the water and nutrients that the good plants need to grow strong and healthy. Why not get rid of the bad plants? Well, for one thing, the field hands in this parable are not quite as skilled as the landowner. Their eye isn't as keen. The landowner knows that wheat has an evil twin, the bearded darnel. The plants look virtually identical. On the screen here, I have 3 pictures of wheat and 1 picture of bearded darnel. Any guesses as to which one is the bearded darnel? The lower right? Anybody else? The lower left? It, what? Top left? You're all wrong. It's the top right. That's pretty hard, isn't it? I mean, granted, I don't think any of you are wheat farmers, but yeah, it's a pretty tricky thing. How do you know? How do you know? Until it's fully grown, what's a wheat and what's a weed? You can also see that by trying to aggressively pull the darnel, that they're likely to mistake the wheat for the weed, and they're going to uproot some of the good plants. Even if they do have accurate eyes, the evil twin wraps its roots around the wheat, the roots of the wheat. And so when you remove the weeds, you're also going to pull up the wheat. And then what's left? In God's garden, the wheat and the weeds grow together. The plants in God's field are as difficult to distinguish as human lives. We really like those binary categories. We like two options. Is it good or is it bad? Is it black or white, hot or cold, holy, evil? But in God's garden, our lives are much more complicated, nuanced. There are a million shades of gray. There's a rainbow of colors that we can't see. All of us, individually and collectively, we're a mixed bag. Each of us is some mixture of wheat and weed. Potentially fruitful and potentially destructive. Matthew is writing to the church at Antioch around the years 80 to 90. And this was an urban church with a lot of ethnic diversity. And the people struggled with all the different expressions of faith and culture. Not a lot has changed. The church today struggles with the same things. And much like the church today, the church at Antioch was at risk of trying to do the sorting out prematurely, on their own. We all have a bit of a preoccupation with drawing lines between who is in and who is out. We use people's behavior, their clothing, their political affiliation, their theological orientation. We use all sorts of things to determine who belongs. We disagree about how broadly or narrowly we should draw those boundaries. Who can we afford to let in? Who is accepted by God and why? But who can we afford not to let in? Matthew's church is confident in their capacity to distinguish between weeds and wheat. They've been expecting Jesus' second coming any moment, and now, and now. And Jesus, the second coming is taking a lot longer than they anticipated. And they really want the second coming because that's the day of the judgment when the unfaithful will be punished. They're becoming impatient, so they start weeding the field themselves. And this parable says, not yet. There's still time for everyone to grow. There's still time for everyone to repent of our sins. There's still time for the weeds to bear good fruit. God, as glimpsed in this parable, models for us an infinite patience. A patience that frees us to get on with the crucial business of loving, or at the very least, living with each other. The best thing for the farmhands and us to do is to let the mixture of weeds and wheat grow together until the harvest time, rather than making any sort of premature judgments. And that way, we don't mistakenly exclude any of God's beloved. And we don't give up on ourselves as a lost cause either. The traditional interpretation of this parable urges Christians not to pronounce judgment on fellow members of the community. And that's not wrong, but it's also too narrow. It's not just other Christians we are to refrain from judging. God will deal with the weeds and the wheat. God will deal with the weeds of the world in due time. We're not to try to uproot them, but leave them be. That's God's business. That being said, this isn't a call to passivity in the face of evil. Jesus isn't giving us permission here to ignore injustice in the world, or violence in society, or even a wrong in the church. We are still called to reflect what is good and godly, to follow, imitate, and present the face of Jesus to the whole world. We are to live according to the values of God's coming kingdom, bearing witness to Christ's life of love and radical welcome, healing, and reconciling work. Perhaps this parable isn't as much about waiting for God to sort at the final judgment as it is about attending to those we see as different in such a way as to increase their potential for holiness. I don't gather and hand my mom a bouquet of weeds anymore, but it does give me an idea for her birthday. But sometimes I will see a yard full of dandelions and I'll just be whisked back to my childhood when those dandelions weren't weeds, but bright yellow puffy flowers that brought me so much joy. It's a reminder that I can live with and even love weeds. Thanks be to God. Amen.